Glory, glory, glory. What an awesome thing to just be in the presence of the Lord and first thing in the morning. That's awesome. You know, we're starting out our week here this morning. We're starting out. You see, this is the first of the week. This is the first of the week, and we're offering of the first of your week. You're offering up something already to Him right now. See, He's removing limitations in our thinking this morning. He's removing limitations. You see, the only thing that stands between you and where you're supposed to go is the way you think. There's no circumstance that can truly stand in your way. There's only a circumstance that needs to bow its knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a circumstance that has to bow its knee to what Jesus is doing, right, Mama? It's got to bow its knee to what's going on in your life. Jesus has already made a way. He's already become the way. And when He's become the way, He's made the way for you and for me. And because of that, He's removing the limitations that have been in our way of thinking. He's removing the things, the prejudice of our way of thinking, the difficulty of and the limitation of our way of thinking. I had a chance to minister with the young people on Wednesday night, and that was what the main part of the message to them was, that God will remove the limitation in your life if you'll let Him change the way you think. Because it's not the circumstance, it's simply your point of view that's in your way. It's not the circumstance that stands between you and where your destiny is. It's only your point of view standing in between you and where you're going. And see, when our point of view lines up with His point of view, now He comes in His mercy and His grace to relieve you of that situation. See, His mercy and grace is not limited to just something that happens at the altar. It came because He wants to change something in your life. It came because He has a purpose for your heart. He has a purpose for your life. And your purpose is not done until the last breath is taken. God is not, He's not quitting. He's not giving up. He's not challenged by what challenges you. He's not challenged by what challenges you, and that's good news for somebody. You know, sometimes we think things have to happen in a certain way. But I heard T.D. Jakes the other day, and he said this. He said basically, when the ravens came and they fed Elijah, he said, those ravens, they didn't come from church. See, sometimes we think the only way we can get relief is somebody from church, one of our friends, comes and does it for us. But he was trying to make us see outside the limitation of where we've been. Because, see, that was a prejudice in my thinking, was that, okay, it has to happen through somebody who's a church friend. No, he said the relationship that's in your life, God may want to use those things that are outside, even of his particular domain. He can still use it on your behalf. God's not limited to the thing that limited us. He's not limited to the thing that's been in our way. He's not limited by the resources that we see. See, he thinks he's God. And he thinks he's a little bigger than all the things that's in front of you. So he wants to stand with you. He wants to come with you and break forth in a new way of thinking. And as he breaks forth in a new way of thinking, that releases the possibilities that he's already included in your heart. The vision he's established in your heart. All we need is a new point of view. A new point of view. All we need is a new point of view that comes out of his throne, that comes out of the fire of God, that comes out of the place that he's already established for you. See, when his fire comes into your life, see, light, fire is what? It's light and it's heat. And it brings forth a refreshing, it brings forth an illumination of what can be. Brings forth an illumination. The fire of God is bringing an illumination into your heart and into your life. Okay, I can't go until I say this, but Rose, your heart is known in heaven. The deeds of your heart are already been established. And they've already made a record. And they've already made your way. It's already provided for you. It's already done for you. It's revered in the places of heaven. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Also good to see you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point of view. I told this a long time ago now. But when my grandson was two, we took him to the beach. And as I'm standing there on the beach, I became aware that his perspective and my perspective were very different things. Because see, he's standing in probably 6 or 8 inches of water, and he thinks probably the whole ocean is that same 6 or 8 inches. He thinks the whole ocean is what's right there in front of him. And it goes as far as his eye can see either direction, but he has no idea that it covers all 3/4 of the planet. He has no idea that it's 5 miles deep in other places. He only understands the part that he's already been and he's already experienced, which is maybe 8 inches of it. He only knows that this place is there. It's in Galveston, okay? That's the only part he's us. Or maybe he understands that place is with Pops, but he doesn't understand that the ocean covers everywhere all around the whole world. See, because he hasn't had his place of perspective the same as what my perspective was. But in the same way that my perspective was greater than his, so is God's perspective greater than yours. His perspective of what is going on is greater than what is anything that you can begin to comprehend at this moment. But he's willing to let you know about his perspective. He's willing to illuminate you with his life. So you can see his perspective. He's willing to illuminate your heart so you can know his perspective. He's willing to raise you up and seat you with him. That's what it tells us in Ephesians 2. Is that because of the richness of his mercy, that's his unending love. Because of his richness of his mercy, he raised us up and seated us with God. He seated us with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And out of that, there flowed something. There flowed there the possibility for you to obtain and to do the things he's already recorded for you to do. He's already recorded what you're going to do. He's already recorded it. It's in his book. He's just waiting for you to discover it. The richness of his glory, the richness of his mercy. See, that was the result of his love, his tremendous love for you. And that just means that we have a little thing that we have to give up. That means we have to give up, like it says in Ephesians 4:10, it says we have to cease from our own work. We have to cease from seeing and believing that it all has to happen just out of our industry. Because see, our industry is not enough by itself. We want to let God join himself to our industry, and we want to join ourselves to what he's already established. Every work of God is going to require your industry, but it better start. It better come forth out of his glory and grace first. His glory and grace is the foundation. And he's the one who reveals it and begins to pull it forth. Yes, Lord. He begins to pour it forth, his glory and grace. What does he say? He says it in Psalms 90. It's the words of Moses, a man of great humble heart before God. And he said, Lord, let your favor be upon us and establish the work of our hands. There's two parts to that statement. There's two parts. It's God's favor. It's his glory. It's his mercy. His grace being revealed. And then he establishes and confirms. He affirms and confirms the work of your hand. We have a foundation in him. When we place him first, the limitation comes off. Hallelujah. See, when we're making room so that the limitations can be done away with. We're making room so he can step in with his opportunity. And what we do with the opportunity becomes our reflection of our gift back to him. He's creating a place for opportunity in your life. See, sometimes we've carried certain thoughts and patterns in our life, and those patterns didn't actually even originate in us. Some of those patterns originated in our parents. Sorry, Mama. Some of those things originated in the lives of others, but they've affected us because we've allowed them to mentor us in something that wasn't true. But now it's time for us to take ownership of who we are and place ourselves in Him. And as we take ownership of who we are and place ourselves in Him, He is released to bring forth the opportunity. And He's released to break off the limitation. Hallelujah. I think that's a great place right there to introduce Miss Tina. Miss Tina, come up here and just share with them a while. I got whatever it is, you do what you want to do. You just do whatever you want to do. Just bring it forth, okay? Hallelujah.
My God, come on and celebrate the word down in Pastor Chuck. He's a deep well, amen? He's a deep well. Somebody say a deep well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We thank God this morning because we are trailblazing in this fire. This thing is blazing. It's on fire and nothing can stop it nor cut it off. Come on and put your hands together. You can't stop this. When God starts something, you cannot stop it. You can't shut it down. You can't pray away. You can't do nothing. This thing bothers me all in the week. Come on, somebody. This thing tattoos me on Mondays. It comes and fronts me on Tuesday. Come on Thursday. It looks right at me. This fire is burning and it cannot be put out. Somebody say yes. Glory be to God. And this same fire that if you don't have it burning on in your life, you just came by this morning at the right place at the right time to get the fire going down in your life. Somebody tell him yes. Glory be to God. I like the scripture that Pastor Chuck used on last week, because when you're in a movement with God, understand that God is in control. This is not protocol services. This is God services. This is a God portal. This is a God open heaven. This is a God fire. And this is all Him and none of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So in Matthew 3, chapter 3 in verse 11, is kind of walking us through what we've been through, a repentant heart. We kind of needed Jesus. Come on, somebody. We were living and we needed Him to come. And then there's preachers that are come and pray and preach, and then it will compel your heart. And then when you hear a word or a service, your heart begins to open up. And that's the conception of salvation. Because you needed to be saved. How many people in here saved this morning? If you're not, we'll get you saved this morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I do want to say online that we got some visitors in this house. They didn't came from online to in-house. Put your hands together for my mother and my sister, Brenda and Pam. They're in the house. So we need y'all to come offline and come in the house. Amen. B-Town. B-Town is in the house. They offline. And they in the house. In-house. I like that. Sometimes you got to come off the line and come on in the house. And Cheryl and Rob is in the house today. They came off the line and they came in the house. I love it. Sometimes you just have to get off the line. I'm talking about Matthew. It says, John is telling them, I indeed baptize you with water unto your repentance. I'm preaching so you can get saved. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He can do it all. He can do more than what I can do. The preachers can only do so much. John said, I can only do so much. But there is one coming mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, but not Holy Spirit alone. The Word of God says Holy Spirit and fire. Somebody say fire. His winnowing fan is in His hand. It's a winnow fork. It's like a fork in his hand. He knows exactly how to stir and move all this stuff around. It's in his hand. And he will thoroughly take his time. He gonna clean out your threshing floor. He gonna thoroughly go over some stuff with you. The preachers can only get you saved. They can only preach a good word and you say, amen, I need to come on to the man now. And when you get into the hands of God, he does things that man cannot do. Somebody say fire. My grandfather, rest his soul. When he got excited, they say he should say fire booster. Fire booster. And so in this thing in his hand, he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. You're the threshing floor. You're the threshing floor. Because he's going to do some stuff on your threshing floor to get you clean out and gather his wheat into the barn. Everything good will last the fire. Come on, somebody. All the good part of you will last through the fire. But he will burn up the chaff with an unquenching fire. I want to focus on what he can do with his fire. And I want to focus on this morning because we're moving in, making room for the fire. Making room for it. This fire is transforming. It's transforming everything around me. It's to a point that I remember back way when Mateo was like 3, Micaiah was like 2. And when this fire hit my life, I've been running for Jesus ever since. Amen, somebody. Ever since. And then when I got saved, I remember being excited about the salvation and wanting to serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. I had no idea of a baptism and then a fire coming for my life. Come on, somebody. I was too excited about, I was already in that. When they preached hell and salvation back then, you just wanted to be saved. Come on, somebody. All you knew is I'm not going there. That's all you knew. They used to scare you. Where you gonna go when you die? I mean, I went through all of that. So when I gave my life, I was excited knowing I'm saved now. You can't tell me nothing. But let me tell you something. I had no clue of a baptism and then a fire coming for my life. And let me tell you something. You can live a good life without the baptism and the fire of God. But now is the time to live a life with the fire of God. Somebody say yes. It's easily lived just to be saved. But I challenge you to be baptized with fire. I'm saved. I think it's overrated. I'm saved. I know God. We know you know God. At this point, we all know God. At this point, I'm talking about we all have took a journey and we're still here. You hear Pastor Chuck say, while you're here, you still got a purpose. You still have a purpose. There is still something to be done in your life. And sometimes just a mere word of salvation will not get you to all of your destiny points. But a fire will take you to the point you're trying to go to. Somebody shout fire. I release it in the name of Jesus. I release it in the name of Jesus. Why? This fire is contagious. It's transforming. But this morning, moving my house, I had to be mother and get everybody up. So in my mother's strength, I'm trying to get everybody up early. But that didn't always go good in my house. Early. When you know they went to bed late. So the mother genes kicked in. But something told me, you don't have to be mother. Send the fire in your house. My God. Somebody tell him yes. You're trying to be a mother. You can be a fire in the name of the Lord. So I stopped being mother real quick. I said, I just released the fire, the anointing upon this house. And all three of the kids are in the house of the Lord this morning. Come on and put your hands together. You know, we got to pull them older ones. Come on, somebody. We got to pull. But I think when I put that fire up under Mateo, I just think the fire just started blazing up on his feet. Come on, somebody. And then it blazed around his heart. Come on, somebody. And then it started blazing around his mind. Come on, somebody. Come on, it overtook the sleep. Come on, it overtook the tiredness. And say, we got a destiny to be at. The fire will get you there. We're moving too much in our own strength. That's why John said, we need somebody else to come. I done did my part. And here we are. We've done our part. We've done enough. And some of us have done too much. So much so that you're tired. Spiritually and physically. So we're in a new year. And there is a great release. What type of release? Release of a campfire. Pastor Chuck released to us, we're in a revival fire right now. And we celebrate and we embrace this revival fire. Because when it touched me over 18 years ago, it was a touch that I'll never forget. But I felt the touch this month and I'm feeling it right now. So what he gave me last year, about 18 years ago, he told me this week, I'm going to do it again. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm going to do it again. I got to do this again. What I did for you way back then, I got to do it again. I got to do it again. How many folks in here know that you got baptized about 18, 20, 30 years ago, but you need him to do it again? Somebody tell him yes. I need him to do it again. And if you're bold enough, if you love him enough, if you're tracking right, you understand, I need him to do it again. Come on, tell him to do it again. I release to do it again, because what he did for you way back and lit a fire in your life and saved you and sanctified you and filled you and put power on you and anointed you and called you out and had you sought out and separated you and then put all the dirt and put all the good in you. Tell him, do it again. God, I feel it in my bones. That fire took everything out of me. That fire dragged me from the world in midnight hour. It came and got me, and it lit a fire inside of me. So the revival fire, I'm walking in the tracks with Pastor Chuck because I feel power on it. And we can't take everybody so fast. So it'd be a hype. This is not a hype. This is not an emotional jump up and down and do all this stuff. And then you got to go back where you came from with nothing. And tell them that church was good. But with this fire, you can get the fire and take it back with you. Come on and put your hands together. I release the fire. I release it. Somebody say, I receive it. I'm talking about a fire that you get, but you take it back. That night, 18 years ago, what I got, I didn't have to leave it at the church. Preaching in this house. I didn't have to leave it on the altar. I was well able to take it back because it was burning. Not only was it burning, it was consuming. It was consuming. And it was so consuming that I couldn't turn it off. So when something is burning, consuming, and you allow it to happen, you're allowing, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. That means it goes with you. I'm teaching something this morning. I'm blowing all the protocols out the water. I'm blowing all the programs of the churches out the water. You don't just shout in here. You're going to go home and shout too. Come on, somebody. You're going to shout this morning. You're going to shout on your job. You're not just going to shout on Sunday. You're going to shout on Monday. You're going to shout on Tuesday. Somebody say fire. I feel it down up in my bones. Revival fire is your change. I didn't know that. I didn't know it come like that. You got to live a little bit. You got to make a lot of mistakes to understand this stuff. You got to live to understand when a fire come, you get to the fire. And you help fan it. Come on, somebody. And you help fan it. Don't just get to help it. You see it about to go out in your house, you better get the blowing. This fire will not be out. We need everybody participating. We need everybody participating. I feel it. The revival fire is your change. Because John said, I did my part. You saved and you lived. Something happened to some of us a long time ago that changed us. And that same change is here again. Because the next years are your best years. That's why he have to do it again. You better celebrate it. That's why he have to do it again. Because what he put on you then, he need to put it back on you again to get through the years. My God, I feel it. Somebody shout fire. I release it in Jesus' name. Because you got years to live. You got days to live. You got mornings to get up to. You got nights to go down in. You got jobs to go to. You got families to raise. You got people to deal with. You need fire. You need something stirring in you. That people don't get next to you. Something in you that you'll do right no matter what. Come on, somebody. Your change is here. And a good thing at this point in 2018, I believe that people are listening and in this room right now, is because you don't want to control your change. You don't want to control it. We've already controlled our own changes. We did enough changing on our own. We did enough. And it wasn't so bad. But it don't last. It's not consuming. Some dead ends it takes you to. It drips and it don't pours. When you're modifying your life and you're changing it, you're defaulting on your purpose and destiny. Let me say it again. When you're doing the changing, you're modifying what God has called for you to do. I speak now for no more modification in this building on mine. I see people receiving that right now because I'm receiving no more modifications. No more modifications. I don't need to work on me by myself no more. No more self-deliverance. Come on, somebody. You don't self-deliverance no more. Can I get a witness in here? I need more witnesses. I need an amen. Thank you for the one in the back. I'll take that. We don't need no more self-delivering. You say, I just delivered myself today. You did? Wow. I just set myself free. That's amazing. Let's track this and see how long that freedom is going to last. You don't control your change is the point I'm trying to make. That's why Christ came on the scene. He came into a heart that was ready. He came on the scenes with his Holy Ghost power. But then he brought some fire with him. So the Holy Spirit is always a releaser. It's always encouraging. It's always refreshing and renewing. It's always doing its job in your life. Then there's some more room that stretches in the course of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. It's a stretching in the realm that you can feel that I'm about to let go. And when you let go, there is a release of fire. And the fire comes. I've seen it where fire come and burn. And it burns so well, it scares people. And they only allow it to burn for like 30 seconds. And that's it, because it's too much. It's like it's overtaken. That's just not me. I mean, you know, that's just too much. But if you let this fire overtake you and consume you, and you give up your rights and give it rights, it's going to take you over and bring about a change. I'm talking about a real change. Sometimes this is so good to be true. It's like it's going over. It's like, no, not me. Probably the neighbors over there because they've been doing so good. Probably not me because whatever. I'm telling you, that's not how the Father and the Lord thinks. He thinks, if you make room for me, I got fire for you. Come on, somebody. I got fire for you. I was an undone, wretch case. And I tell you, all I did was just open up my heart with all my baggage. Come on, somebody. I had to open that heart up with all my baggage. Everything that I could do and I couldn't do, all my weaknesses and all my strength. I stood in his presence, and not only did he give me his spirit, he gave me with fire. Somebody shout fire. The fire wants to control. Don't worry about your problems and how they're dictating to you, because that's when we know who we're opening ourselves up to, the fire of God. The fire is all-knowing. I'm going to release this. The fire is all-knowing of God. Listen to what he says that this fire does. The Lord spoke this directly to me. He says, and I know where to start the fire in your life. And I know how to spread it in your life. You can't control this change. I do. So he knows where the fire should even start in your life. And then he's the one that spreads it out. So it may be something that you're like, well, I just want this, 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 this. It doesn't work like that. Well, just put the fire right there. And don't put the fire over here. Open up your heart, mind, bodies to where he put the fire at. He says, I'm well able to spread it across your life. When I start it, I'm going to spread it. If you let me start it, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to take it all the way where it needs to go. This is a new year. This is a reset year. And this is the year of change and transformation, metamorphosis. This is when your struggles are over. It doesn't matter how you've been for 5 years. It doesn't matter. This nation have to embrace you and your goodness. Come on. Your good is coming forth. Everything that God put in you have to come forth. But he has to bring it forth. The revival fire have taken off. And is lit. And I know there's a high desire for it to be lit in your life. Amen. How much room do you have for the consuming fire? Sometimes the enemy, and how many know he got to back down and obey? When fire come, the enemy have to back down and obey. The chains got to break instantly when fire comes. He can't hold, that stronghold have to break in the name of Jesus when fire comes. So it's like you think about all of this. Life have thrown a lot at us. So that's why when the presence comes, you come with everything in life. That's why the fire comes to burn up things. Let me tell you the precious thing about what's happening. is burning things out of your control. So you don't have to run over there and apologize for it not being like it used to be no more. You don't have to go over here and shut this door because the fire is here, so I got to shut the fire does all the controlling. It's beautiful. It's beautiful of the transformation of fire. It's just like it was 18 years ago, but I believe that it's coming more powerful because I'm ready to receive it now. I'm ready to live with fire now. Come on, somebody. Are you ready to live with fire? I'm talking about do it again. I'm talking about the way he did it then, we were unstoppable. If you got in my way, I mean, you just moved instantly. I mean, the anointing was trailblazing. I mean, we're going to bed shaking. I'm on the floor wailing and crying and praying and my kids on top of me. Come on. I'm slain in the spirit every night in my house. Come on, somebody. I'm up wailing. Calling on the name of the Lord. And back then, being a single parent wasn't cool. The doors was opening for me to get through. Because when you have this in your life and you have this fire burning, it begins to consume things. This morning, I want to release it. We have time to release it. We're going to take up an offering as well this morning. If you're way listening, we're going to release this in the name of Jesus. We're going to release this into your home. I released this over the young people last week, and I'm telling you, I see transformation happening. Amen. I released it over a whole line of youth right here. And some of them youth have to go home with me. So that's how I know. I see transformation. I see my oldest son transforming up under this consuming fire. I see Mattel coming up under this consuming fire. Because he understands the fire. He's not rejecting the fire. He may not be the fire starter, but he's the one that's coming to it. Come on, you ain't got to be the one that's starting it. You just got to be the one that just draw into it. It's tangible. It's good. I don't have to preach something out of the book or something. I'm just going to preach what's in my own house. Come on, somebody. It's a fire that's bringing my kids together. Come on and tell them yes. It's a fire that we go to bed in peace and we wake up in peace. Come on, somebody. And if we disagree, we reason together in peace. We don't argue to be right. We argue to reason. No more control. I got men in my house now. Help me, Jesus. Help me. When you're around men, help me. Got me some men. You ain't my husband. I still got to. In the name of Jesus, give me something up there. I think we need to have something. But I release it in the name of Jesus, and all that's going to receive this fire. You're going to see the basket up here. Let's dim the lights just a little bit. This fire was so powerful last week that when the second service came in here, it didn't lift. No flesh could penetrate this fire. That when the second service came in, they had to move into the fire. They had to come into the fire. And it overtook me and Pastor Chuck last week. And we're testifying that this is a revival fire. This is our change. This is not a time to let slip. Because we can't call it down when it wants. It's here because it wants to be here. It's an ordained time for things to be. And it is ordained for a revival campfire to be in this place. So in the homes of those that are listening and those that's going to come to the altar, I just want for you to stand right where you are. Just stand right there. Because there's some people that's listening online that's getting ready to receive this fire. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release this fire. We release it into the homes. We release it into bathrooms. We release it into cars. We release it into this house. We release it into this church. We release it into second service, first service. We release this fire to come down in the entire year. That you say that where you start, you'll spread the fire across. So we're decreeing a spreading of fire across our lives this morning. And by way of the one that is listening now, that tears are streaming down now, we release a fire into your home. Don't worry about everybody in the house. You receive it this morning. Somebody tell him yes. Don't worry about who not listening. You're listening. And I release it to you in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.